This morning, we are in the book of Revelation, and I am going to begin a short series, kind of taking a little break from the Gospel of John. As the summer is, people are coming and going. I'll be starting up the series in the Gospel of John probably in September, but up until then, we are going to be in the book of Revelation, specifically chapters 2 and 3, and the seven churches that Jesus mentions in those two chapters. And I got to tell you, probably back in February, God laid this series on my heart. And I'm super excited that we can learn from these churches. There's so much you can dig into in the book of Revelation. And a lot of you probably get very excited about that apocalyptic kind of nature, what's the future going to hold, what's going to happen in the days to come. That really happens from chapters 4 through 12. And unfortunately, we're not going to be diving in too much into that section of Scripture. But I do look forward to doing that someday. This series was laid on my heart because, about a year ago, we planted this church. God planted this church in Altoona, High Point Church. And to be honest with you, when we started this church, one of my heart's desires is that we don't play church. That we don't just come here on a Sunday like a checking your little punch card. That High Point is a place where we can come and we can learn, we can grow, we can be challenged by the Word of God, and our desire is to be here, to hold each other accountable, and to fellowship. We didn't plant this church because we want to play church. I say this often, but this is a hospital, not a country club. This is a place for sick people, and we're all sick. We all have this three-letter word that destroys our life, and it's sin. And so we come here to worship Christ alone because He can save us from that sin and the penalty that destroys us, though it can still have an impact in our lives, can it not? So as I begin this study in Revelations, we can learn a lot from these churches. The first church being the church in Ephesus. This church was the cream of the crop of the churches in the first century. Paul planted this church, stayed with this church about 3 years. You can read about it in Acts chapter 18, 19, 20. John, they say, the writer of the Gospel of John, the writer of Revelation, after he left Patmos, where he wrote this letter, some say he went to Ephesus and spent the rest of his days in Ephesus. Ephesus was a happening place to be. We can learn a lot from Ephesus. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 2. As I read the first seven verses, you can follow along up here. If you don't have your bulletins, if you have your Bibles, go to the last book of your New Testament. Revelation chapter 2, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. The words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you can't bear with those who do evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you find them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. That you have abandoned your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have hate for the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. I ask now for your blessing on the rest of the message. Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak for me, that the words that come out of my mouth would be changed so that you would get glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. So we look at the book of Revelation chapter 2, and we see that Jesus is addressing churches throughout the New Testament age. Seven churches. Now in the Old Testament, or not in the Old Testament, in Revelation, and specifically in the whole Bible, seven, the number seven means a lot. And I'm not going to go into it all, a bunch of different commentaries, but there's a reason there were seven. It's the number of completion in the Bible. What Jesus is trying to articulate here is these seven churches represent all the churches that will ever present themselves on this earth. And so as that last verse says, he who has an ear, let him hear all the churches. Jesus wants us, High Point Church, to learn from the church in Ephesus. So let's learn from them, okay? Let's break it down. Starting in verse 1, it says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Now the angel there really just means messenger. Not a literal angel, even though there are angels in the Bible, Gabriel being one, Michael being another. When John says an angel here, he's basically talking about messengers, specifically pastors. So what he's saying here is to the pastor of the church in Ephesus, listen up as you shepherd your flock, as under shepherds, as Christ being the chief shepherd. So as God laid on my heart these seven churches, God is telling me as the shepherd of this church, what can we learn from this church in Ephesus? So Jesus commends this church. Let's look at that. What are they doing right? What is this church in Ephesus doing right? It says first in chapter 2, they're hard workers. They endure hardship. And they have sound doctrine, believing in the right things. They detest hate. You know, Chris in Sunday school this morning talked about hate. God does hate. He hates sin. And he hates the effects of sin. And this group, the Nicolaitans, were promoting a gospel plus Jesus. In other words, he would promote Jesus, but also say it's all right to do some sexual sin and some sexual immorality. The Nicolaitans were a perverted church. And the church in Ephesus hated them because they were perverting the very gospel that they were promoting, which was Christ alone. So the church in Ephesus did some things right, and that's encouraging, right? I mean, Jesus isn't manipulating this church. And I gotta say, I would guess that if God came, if Jesus stepped in this church, there would be good things, I hope, that he would say about High Point. Maybe some of the things in the church of Ephesus. We work hard. We do. We toil. We care about people. You know, a couple weeks ago, we did a Be the Church service where we went out and served different people in the community. That's a good thing, right? a good thing to help people. Working hard, doing setup. You know, as you sit in these chairs and you look at this stage, several guys and ladies did some hard work this morning. And it was a lot hotter in here when we first got in here. They worked hard. And they taught sound doctrine. This is a big deal. They taught the gospel, the correct gospel, that Jesus alone saves. They weren't teaching false doctrine. Jesus commended them for that. They were teaching the right gospel. These are things that Jesus was not disappointed in. So they were doing some things right. And I got to think we're doing things right too. But we have a lot to learn, don't we? And as we look at this church, I want us to learn from this church. We've been around for a year. And it's very easy to slip into these types of problems. So what did they do wrong? In verse 4, it says they abandoned, or the word, some of your translations may see left. They left their first love. So what does that mean? Well, let me just say it to you simply. You ready? They were serving without Jesus. Now you say, how do you do that? Well, here's how you do it. You set up, you tear down, you go to nursery, you do ushering, you do anything in the church, and you're not doing them with Jesus. Warren Wiersbe, famous theologian, said this, and put the quote up, Chris, but I thought this really articulated exactly what this text means. Christ is more concerned about what we do with Him than for Him. Labor is no substitute for love. See, the church in Ephesus were working hard and doing lots of things, but they became cold. They no longer were doing it with Christ. They were doing it for some selfish motive without love. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ compels me. For the love of Christ controls me." See, what motivated Paul was not his love for Christ, but Christ's love for him. The church in Ephesus were in danger of abandoning that love that compelled them. They were no longer doing setup. They were no longer watching kids with Christ. They were doing it on their own. And so in turn, were losing their love. Is that possible at High Point Church? That's a rhetorical question. Don't shake your head. How about if I just shake it? It's possible. I'm guessing it's true in some of your lives right now. That you're serving without Christ. Jesus wants you to serve with Him, not for Him. So how do you serve with Jesus? How do we as High Point Church not fall into this trap where we abandon our first love? Where we leave it. You know, the word left there doesn't mean you lost it. It wasn't something you didn't have. It literally means you left it behind. You actually had it, you set it aside, and you continued on. And that's exactly what the church in Ephesus were in the process of doing. They were doing their works. They were in sound doctrine, and they were doing it without Jesus. They were abandoning their first love. So how can we as a church? Here's where we get to our 3 points. You ready? Because isn't that what we want to learn? How do we not fall into these same traps as these seven churches in Revelation? Well, the first thing, found in verse 5, it says, remember. Remember. You don't want to abandon your first love. You don't want to lose your first love or leave your first love. The first thing is remember. That's all Jesus says. Remember. So what do you have to remember? Well, Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus. And in the very first chapter, Paul articulates exactly what we have to remember. And those are five things that all of us in Christ have with Jesus. And if we ever forget what we have, these spiritual blessings, we are in danger of leaving our first love. The first thing, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says election. Jesus has given us election. What does that mean? It means God has chosen us. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole battle of election either, as Chris mentioned in Sunday school. But what it means is that Jesus has chosen us. God the Father has chosen us before the foundation of time. That's good news. That means that God's in control, okay? And because God's in control, you can trust Him. Don't ever forget that. The other thing, redemption. In the blood of Christ, we are all forgiven of our sins if you are in Christ. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are forever forgiven for your past, your present, and your future sins. That is something to remember. Boy, it's hot up here. We have an inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1 says. Promises of God. There are some 8,000 promises in this book. 8,000 plus promises. And God says they are for His in Christ. Those are good news. I will never leave you nor forsake you, Jesus says. That's a promise. That's a good thing to remember. And then He says He seals us with the Holy Spirit. Those of you in Christ, those of us in Christ have been given the counselor, the guide. He, the Holy Spirit, to guide you in everything that Jesus taught while on this earth. That's something to remember. These are great things. Do you have these spiritual blessings? Because they can never be taken away from anybody that are in Christ. That's what Jesus wants you to remember. That's what Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians for, so that as chapters 1, 2, and 3 is the fuel, what we have in Christ, it motivates them to do the works of God with Jesus. Not just for Jesus, with Him. Remember, second point, it says to remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and then repent. Now, I got to tell you, this is the hardest one, right? The word repent literally means to change your direction. It literally means to go the opposite direction that you're going. To repent means that you're walking in sin and to literally go the opposite direction of your sin. Jesus wants you to remember what you have in Christ and then repent when you're not going in the right direction. Every morning we need hearts of repentance. Constantly seeking God to change our hearts. When you wake up in the morning, you have to ask God, God, please grant me a heart of repentance. Willing to change my direction. When I'm addicted to this sin or that sin, God, give me the strength to walk away from those things. Jesus is saying, you will abandon your love when you don't remember what you have and you don't have a heart of repentance. A heart willing to change every morning. Whether you go to work or with your family or your friends. When you are in Christ, you have the ability to change. And if you're not in Christ, you have no ability to change. Don't kid yourself. You will continue to go back to your sin over and over and over again because you have no power And only Christ gives that power. Do you have a heart of repentance? The third thing says, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent. And then finally it says, do the works that you did before or in the first place. So the third point is, remember, repent, and redo. Now, I don't know about you, but did you grow up loving something? And I'm not trying to get over spiritual here, but maybe it was a car. Maybe it was a house. Maybe it was a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Do you remember what it was like to love that thing? You know, some of us look back and we say, oh, I remember this 1963 Chevy Impala I had. It was sweet. Love that thing. We're so good at remembering that feeling that it takes to love and to all those different things. I'll attribute it to this in a marriage when you're married and we got Jake and Stacy here who are brand new married. Congratulations. It's been about a week or two now. They're in super love right now. Okay? I don't know what they did for that last 2 weeks. I don't want you to come up here and tell us either. But I'm guessing they loved each other. Did I just get an amen on that? But you remember what it was like? And I'm not saying that marriages that have been together for 10, 15, 20, 30 years aren't still madly in love, as me and Laura are. But I can tell you, do you remember the first time you loved them? I can remember the first time I saw Laura. She was wearing bib overalls. She had like a flannel shirt on underneath her bib overalls. She was smoking hot. I loved her. I'll never forget my first love. I'll never forget when I first saw her. I wanted to spend every minute with her. I wanted to call her and talk for hours. I so don't do that now. I hate the phone. Laura always knows when I'm ready to go. Okay, time to go, right? Do you remember calling and talking and talking and talking and talking and probably talking some more? Do you remember? You didn't want to spend any more time with anybody else. If you don't want to abandon your first love, remember what Jesus has done for you. Have a repentant heart, constantly seeking God to change your heart. And thirdly, remember, redo what you did at first. So what does that look like? Well, when you first accepted Christ, do you remember your passion for this? Remember how you couldn't wait to study the words of God? When someone would share a verse with you, you were like, oh my goodness, that was right for my heart. And you'd read the verse and you'd tear through the scriptures and you were just like, oh God, I just want to spend time with you. And you prayed. Oh man, I remember when I first was saved on November 2nd, 2001, I just prayed. And just cried out to God. I didn't even know how to pray. But someone told me it's just talking to God. So I talked to God. I talked to him in my car. I talked to him at work. I talked to him in the restroom. I talked to him everywhere. Remember how you couldn't stop serving? I mean, you couldn't wait to serve in the nursery. You were so happy. That's supposed to be a joke. There you go. You know, when you have that first love, you'll do anything. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Redo what you did when you first loved me. Remember the things that were important at first? Redo them. Go back to reading this with passion and fervor. Go back to on your knees in prayer. In your closet and cry out to God, Remember, redo. And serve again with Him. Like you did when you first got saved. When you first trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you remember that day? Now, I got to tell you, there's no doubt that you're here and you're like, I never had a passion to read the Bible. I never had a passion for fellowship. For me, church is punching in a clock. And then I get to live my life Monday through Saturday any way I want. I never had a desire to pray to God. First thing I do when I get up, I think of what's on ESPN. I never remember an excitement of my walk with Jesus. I don't remember. Well, then can I talk to you for a second? Maybe you're here and you've never accepted the love of Christ. Maybe you're here and you have been bombarded with any number of religion and you have no idea what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That God became a man to die for the sins of this world. That He bore the weight of all the sins of the world on His back. As Zach read in Isaiah 53, 700 years before it actually took place. What a great prophecy from Isaiah. That's love. And if you've never, the word believe in the New Testament really means to rely on, to trust. Every single one of you sat in your chairs with no reservation. You didn't put your hand down on your chair and say, I hope this chair holds me up. You sat in that chair with complete confidence that that's what that chair does. It holds you up. That's the word that God uses for the kind of trust that you need in His Son. And if you put your hand on your chair, or if you start adding things to Jesus, religious duties, good works, you start adding those things, it's like putting your hand on your chair and saying, oh, I hope it holds me up. That's not believing. That's not trusting. And that's not saving faith. Jesus says you must place your full trust in me alone and nothing else. And if you don't do that, you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. When you stand before God, you have no answer. And I'm just here to tell you that if you don't have a passion or never had a passion for these things, you need to examine your faith. Because, the Bible does say that. Examine your faith to see if you're in the faith. Well, how do you know if you're in the faith? Well, first of all, you see if you've trusted in Christ alone. And the result is your life changes. You know, you're looking at a drug dealing, fake ID making, addicted to any number of sins. God changed my life. Laura didn't change my life. Moving to Altoona didn't change my life. Getting a job didn't change my life. Jesus Christ changed my life. And He wants to change yours. Your eternal life and the life you're living right now. You know, my hope is, like I said before, is that we don't become a church like Ephesus, where we're just serving and doing, and we come here, it's methodical, it's very mechanical, and there's no love. You know, ministry is dirty, isn't it? Because we're dirty. We like to sin. And when we focus too much on, and I don't mean any disrespect to this, when we focus too much on the mechanical, and there's not a good balance of the love, then God says, I'm not there. I won't be there. Jesus says, I will remove my light. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to come here and not have the presence of the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 14 says this. Listen to this acknowledgement from unbelievers. And an unbeliever or an outside enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's my prayer for High Point Church. Not only for us that know Christ, that we would fellowship together, but that someone here that doesn't know Christ would say, God's in here. The presence of God is in here. They love Jesus in here because of what he did for them, not because of what we've done, but because of what he did. Remember, repent, and redo. And we won't leave our first love. We have lots to learn from these seven churches. And for God's glory, let's ask God to lead us. And if you're here today and you've never experienced what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus, it means that you right now, you confess your need for Jesus. You confess your sin and you ask Jesus to forgive you. Because it's the very sin that is separating you from God. And Jesus is our mediator. You confess your need for Christ and you ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. Lord of your life and Savior of your life. Is that what you desire? Then sit confidently in that. And those of us who do know Christ, let's not leave our first love. Let's serve with Jesus, not just for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on your church, High Point. God, we don't do things good here. We mess up. We have selfish motives. And I'm just talking about myself. And I ask, God, that you would forgive me and forgive us. That High Point would truly be a church where you can be present and that you can begin to do a good work in us, through us. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.